Welcome to Edgewater. Welcome to our gathering this morning. It's good to have you here. One of the things that struck me as I walked in this morning while Amy was leading us in worship was I can feel the presence of Jesus in this place. And that is why we're here. Jesus is here. And I've learned over life that when God shows up, to first and foremost acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge the reality that we serve a God who's not up there waiting to come down, but that we serve a God who longs to come down and be with us, and that he's with us. So I'm feeling like you're there with me, right? We're good. So in this place, what we have happening right now is we have the presence of the Lord in this place. So this is the best place to be, is with Christ and with you. And I have to tell you, walking in this morning, I am so glad to see each one of you here. I'm so glad to see you here. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm thankful to God that you're here serving the mission of Christ together. I'm grateful for each one of you. And I want to make a point to make sure that we acknowledge your presence as well, because you matter. It's good that you're here. Even you, Michael, you matter. Everyone here matters. So we're so thankful. And I'm excited about where we're going. I'm excited about what's next. I live with this constant anticipation of God's always has something out in front of us, and that he's always leading us forward, and that when I look at the big story of God in Scripture, that we don't serve a God who lives in the past. We serve a God who lives in the now and is always pulling us forward. And I'm all in for that. I'm in for what's forward, for what's next. And as we've said here at Edgewater countless times, there's a couple of different positions that you can take in life. There's the no position, the position of resistance and closed-heartedness, and then there's the yes position to Christ. There's the yes position and the open position to Jesus, what do you have for us? And we're all in with whatever you have for us. And that's the position that we constantly invite you into that bigger story of that openness and that yes position to what God has for us next. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take us forward and kind of put us into God's bigger story of what's going on. And I thought it would be really helpful this morning is if we talk about tribes. That would be maybe a good place to start. Let's talk about tribes from a biblical perspective and get kind of this broader image of what God was doing when he was forming his people in the beginning, and then when Jesus comes into the scene and what Jesus is doing as he's forming his new community, building off of what has happened in the past. So in the Old Testament, you have in Genesis chapter 12. Now, what we've done in the last several weeks and months is we've been exploring the first 11 chapters of Genesis, kind of like a broad, overarching theme. We looked at Noah. You guys remember when we talked about Noah and what's the point of the story, what's going on there? We even talked about the Tower of Power. You remember that, Ray? Because you were feeling that, weren't you? The Tower of Power. And we talked about the Tower of Babel. And the story of like, well, what is this story and why is it inserted in this strange place and what's going on there? And what we discovered is that humanity had really gotten off course in the first 11 chapters, in the broader story. You can kind of see like, this is what happens when we get off course and when we get off the path that God has invited us into. Humanity had gotten to a place where they were now taking technology and they were taking things and they were building structures unto themselves. There were empires rising up. And then God steps into the story once again in Genesis chapter 12, and he calls this young man named Abram. And he says to Abram, Abram, I'm calling you by name, and I want you to go. Such a weird concept for people living in this time in history, because nobody even considered going from the place where they were. The concept of stepping outside of your realm of comfort and going somewhere else was bizarre. So a God that comes and invites Abram to go, and then what does the text say? And Abram went. You're like, what? And Abram went? That's like so progressive and so forward-thinking that to even hear that in the beginning of the biblical narrative, It's like, what in the world is going on? Abraham just went? We read that in our context, and we think, well, yeah, sure, God calls you, you just go. But in that context, that was like a huge leap forward in kind of this Hebrew consciousness, kind of like, wait, this God that we're serving is calling us to move forward, and what he calls them into is just unbelievable. Now, a bit about tribes before we get back to this whole concept of going forward. Tribal understanding. Tribes were all about self-preservation. So when you had your tribe, it wasn't just about political affiliation. It wasn't just about religious affiliation. It was about self-preservation. It's about you've got to do everything you can to survive as a tribe. Because if you don't survive as a tribe, you're like one battle away from getting wiped out or assimilated into another tribe. So when tribes would battle against one another, you had this fear behind it. Like if our tribe loses this battle and our God is fighting against your God, because essentially you see that, right, in the biblical narrative. You have the Philistine God and then you have the Israelite God and they're like battling each other in the form of people. And then it depends on who wins. And it's like, well, our God is greater than your God. And that's the narrative that we see. And so we see this self-preservation mode, which is very typical among tribal understanding. Like we just want to preserve. It's kind of kill or be killed. And when God comes to Abram and says, Abram, go, and Abram goes, do you remember what the initial invitation to Abraham, what was the promise? Somebody remember that far back? What was the promise given to Abram? Yeah, you'll be the father of great nations. And what was the invitation? Come on, Edgewater. You will be, Susan, you're feeling it. Come on, Susan. Yeah, you'll be a blessing. You'll be a blessing to all other nations, right? Now, think about how like forward that is. Wait. You're calling us to go. First of all, that's weird. And then you want us to be a blessing to all other nations that are really just out to wipe us out? Like, hold up. You want us to go and be a blessing to our enemies? You want us to be light? Remember that language? Go and be a light, be a blessing. Go and take care of people. We even looked at the story of Jonah. You remember when we looked at the story of Jonah? To go to Assyria, which is like go to your enemy and ask them to join in with the mission of God. And what is Jonah's response? See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. He's gone. And then God brings him back and he gives the message. And of course, these evil people repent and they join in the mission of God. That's not the plan, but that's the initial call of Israel. Be a blessing to all other nations. This is who you are. You're to be different, unique, set apart for this reason. Now, to their consciousness, it's like, no. We can't do that because then we're going to get eliminated. We're going to get wiped out. So when another tribe develops new technology, like we discovered with Babel, when another tribe is like, we've discovered iron and bronze and metal, and we're making weapons with these things, and your tribe is still slinging rocks, right? They're still slinging rocks. You're going, we're afraid of that tribe. That kind of describes the feeling between the Philistines and the Israelites. And then you have the story of King David going up against this giant. You come at me with swords and with all these weapons. And what does David say? I come to you in the name of the Lord. He like throws it down. I come to you in the strength and the power of God Almighty. And it's like, oh, you're remembering why you're here. You're remembering whose you are. And David steps into that story and there's a defeat and God is praised and honored. And they're not afraid of the technology and they're not afraid of this tribe is versus our tribe. They're not afraid. They're not just all about self-preservation. But here's what happens so often in the human development is that we go back to that which we always feel comfortable in, what we know. And it's like, no, we just got to preserve this. We've got to preserve our own thing and our own tribe and our own sense of connection when God continues to invite us into the bigger story. Like, why are we here? Why are we here? We're here to be a light. We're here to be a blessing. We're here to bless people. That's why we said yes to Jesus. We didn't say yes to Jesus to get out of that. And when I said yes to Jesus, I said yes to a way of life, to a whole new way of being in the world. So when Jesus comes into the scene, one of the first things he says is, I'm here. Hey, everyone, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And you're like, oh, Lord, what have you just done? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. What he's doing then is he's going, he's saying, y'all have forgotten why you're here. The original call is to be a blessing and a light to all other nations, and you've forgotten that. And he's calling all the lost sheep, and he's calling all the lost people that are scattered abroad, and he's bringing them back and inviting them to step into the bigger mission of God. You are to be a light. And what does he say in one of his first sermons in Matthew chapter 5? You are the what? Light of the world. Thank you, Ray. You are the light of the world. And then what does he say? You are the salt of the earth. Right? Have you ever had French fries without salt? They're there. When you put salt on them, they're there. Know what I'm saying? Salt enhances. It makes whatever it's involved in even better. Brings out all the subtle nuances. So when we step into the kingdom of God here on earth, the kingdom of heaven, we're stepping into a whole new way of being in the world. And in Matthew 5, Jesus gives us this description of what this looks like. He says, you are salt, you are light, you are to pray and bless those who persecute you. And notice what he says. He says, you. That's key. He doesn't say you individually. He says, y'all, to bring it into the South. Y'all are light. Y'all are salt. You all are to be a city on a hill. Because let's face it, guys, if it was just you and it was the city of you, that'd be a really boring city. If it was just you, but all of us together, this big, messy corporation, this thing where, you know, God's kingdom, apparently God has some really weird people in his family, and then we all find each other. And then we learn how to get along and how to work through stuff and how to regain this sense of what mission are we a part of? We're part of this bigger mission of God where we're to be a blessing and a light. We're to be salt. We're to go out. So Abraham goes. Jesus invites us to go, and he sends us into the deeper mission of God. So Jesus comes onto the scene, and he continues to invite people. Do you want to participate? Do you want to participate in the kingdom of heaven here on earth? Or do you want to wait for something to happen later? I want to participate now. I want to get into this now. I want to be a part of it now. And that means it's going to get messy, and there's going to be a lot of like blood, sweat, and tears, and it's going to be really difficult. And like we talked about last week, some things are going to happen that we're going, I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do with this news. Can I remind you of something? Jesus has got this. He's got this. He's got you. He's got me. He's got us. Do not forget that. He's got this. Remember when we've said Jesus holds the final word? We've said that so many times in the last year and a half. Jesus has got this. Divorce is not the final word. Brokenness is not the final word. Disappointment, not the final word. All the things that we can't make sense of, not the final word. Jesus holds the final word. He holds it in the palm of his hand. And like I've reminded many of you this week, as we've sat and processed things together and have reminded our leadership team, let's not get out of the hands of Jesus. Let's stay right here, because this is where life is. This is good. And my sense is that whatever is next for us as a community is Jesus has got this, and it is good. And I believe that with all my heart. As I listen to you and as I see you, and as I see you right now looking back at me, what a privilege to have your attention. Jesus has got this. He's got us. Abraham was called to go, so Abraham said, all right, let's do this. Jesus calls disciples to come and follow him and to go, and what do they say? Let's do this. Let's go. Let's learn. Let's process. And as Jesus lays it out for us, here's what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, where we practice forgiveness, where we practice reconciliation, where we can help people understand that the ultimate mission is to get and help people reconnect back into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but also right relationship with one another. We don't leave it there. We bring it down into the real world too, where we live, where we have right relationship with one another. And then even beyond that, we are in right relationship with the world, with creation itself, where we connect to one another and we connect into the deeper mission of God. We connect into the heartbeat of God, as we sang in the song, the things that his heart beats around, we want to do. You did such a good job, by the way, leading worship this morning. It was so great. Thank you. Like, you get a thought in your head, you just go with it. But I appreciate you. I appreciate your leadership here. So I have this sense that God is doing something in our midst. And I'm not 100% sure what that is. I would be lying to you if I knew exactly what he was up to. But I do know this. We're all in together. We're in it. God's got you. He's got you, Jermaine. He's got you. Right, my brother? He's got you. Ray Mays, he's got you. And all the things that are going on in life. The Rodriguez family, he's got you. Now, I'm not going to call everybody out in the room. They're like waiting. When are you going to call me? When are you going to call me? I could go through, I know your names. I know your list, and I've been checking it twice. But I want you to know that being your pastor has been, man, what a privilege. What a privilege to have been in a relationship with you. What a privilege. What an honor it has been to serve Jesus with you. It has been my absolute honor. I love you. I care for you very deeply. Thank you. And I trust God with all my heart, with all my being. I trust him. And I'm asking you to lean into the heart of Jesus together as we go forward. Can we just take a few moments to just sit in stillness and just sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to invite you to hold out your hands in a downward position as we practice this Quaker prayer. Love those Quakers. Where we release all the things that we can't control. Things that we're carrying, the weight, and we just release it. Just release in this moment. Father, there are so many things that we cannot control. So many things going on in our own lives, in our own private stories, in our own personal stuff that is in chaos and is broken. And we bring that to you this morning, Father. We ask that you, Lord Jesus, our King, our Savior, would work on our hearts, would work on the hearts of those we love, on our family members, and all that mess, that you would work. We thank you that you are a God who comes down and listens and cares about how we feel, and you care about where we're at in our journey, and we love you, and we praise you, and we honor you. So we release. And then we turn our hands in an open position, our palms up, and we receive. We receive. Sometimes the best we can do is just to receive, and it's so hard, but just receive the love and generosity of God, his forgiveness. Receive from the Holy Spirit all that he has for you this morning. We come to you, Lord Jesus, in an open posture. Our hearts are open to you. Whatever you have for us, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Heal. Restore. Move us deeper into hope. Encourage us. Minister to your people. And thank you for inviting us into the bigger story of what's going on in the world, for inviting us into this sense of mission that you're doing something amazing in this world right now, working in people's hearts and restoring, transforming, building, calling, inviting, moving us with grace and peace. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. We honor you this morning. Amen.
We're going to continue our time together in our time of offering. And as we sing this last song, just was struck.
Now, receive the good word. May the Lord God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. And may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with all of you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Amen.